Hey you. Yes, you. There's two words I gotta say to you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the greatest podcast now in America. Welcome to the greatest podcast now in the world. Welcome to the greatest podcast in the universe. I'm your host with most charisma to boast, and you are watching Desmond Penn hosting the Penn Down audio. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. I kind of tried my best to make that sound too cool or too professional, but you know, bear with me, guys. I'm kind of slowly trying to learn to do better when it comes to audio, trying to find a way to make it a bit more, I guess, entertaining, since you can't really see my face, you can't really see my mannerisms. But wow, yeah, we have a lot to talk about today. This one might actually be one of my longer episodes, so kind of bear with me, get situated, and let's dig in, because our first topic is Nick Aldis. So many of you, if you're a wrestling fan, you know Nick Aldis as the longest reigning, I'm going to say modern day, because I don't know if he's the longest reigning in NWA history, but longest reigning modern day NWA world champion, or, you know, he was in NWA, but then he left due to, if I'm not mistaken, it was problems with Billy Corgan. You all probably know him from either Smashing Pumpkins, or if you're a wrestling fan, you kind of just know him as the bald-headed white guy that owns NWA now. But he just left Impact Wrestling after unsuccessfully beating one half of the Motor City Machine Guns for the belt. And now there's rumors of him going to WWE. Now, I know that for a handful of pro wrestling fans, it's very cool to kind of hate on talent going to WWE, as they feel like that they'll get ruined, especially their really good talents such as Nick Aldis. But kind of bear with me. I feel like Nick Aldis could do really well in WWE, and that being, I feel like if you put him on NXT or Raw, because NXT could very much use that person that can kind of catapult it to, let me word it like this, if WWE is trying to make NXT feel more so like a third brand, instead of just, you know, I guess like WWE Underground or a developmental, I feel like Nick Aldis could be the man that can do it. And if they move Nick Aldis to Raw, go back into history books, there's somebody on Raw who has very much so history with Nick Aldis, and his name is the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. And if you saw that documentary that's coming out, I'm not gonna lie, that documentary looks, excuse my language, dope as fuck. But I personally feel like he could do a lot good in WWE. However, that doesn't mean I would be against him going anywhere else. And I guess the only other big game in town that I would like to think he's considering is AEW. However, the reason why I kind of don't want him in AEW, because I just feel like his character won't be a good fit. I feel like if anything, he'll kind of start off getting the Cody Rhodes treatment, where he's in like very intricate storylines and everything. But it would kind of just go to where the fans either just start hating on him or booing him, or just not really giving a damn about him. And that kind of even just goes with Ring of Honor, which that's also going to be what we're going to be talking about today, along with Impact Wrestling. So you'll kind of see that kind of goes into our hot take. I kind of spoiled it. Man, it's late. That's all I'm going to say. But how about you guys? Would you rather see Nick Aldis in WWE, or would you rather want to see him in AEW, Ring of Honor, or even elsewhere, maybe even return back to Impact Wrestling? And moving on to our next topic, Ricochet. So currently Ricochet is in a feud with Logan Paul, And I'm gonna be honest, I don't really know where this idea came from. I was kind of just on the couch. Yeah, like I really don't know where this idea came from. I was either on the couch or at work, but I say the best solution for Ricochet, because right now I kind of seen a lot of people, especially my friend Sam from PWE Official, say this seems to be like a make or break moment for Ricochet, with them giving him like a person to feud with on the caliber of Logan Paul, who, yes, he isn't like the highest regarded professional wrestler ever, but he's still a big name in WWE, like still a pretty big name, so that's quite an honor. But what I think should happen is have Ricochet lose. Yes. Yes. Have Ricochet lose. But have Ricochet turn heel. And before you kind of say, like, man, like, he doesn't have, like, the character dynamic to turn heel and be successful. Like, he's bad when it comes to promos. Bear with me. Have him turn heel. Give him somebody to be a mouthpiece. It can be either somebody from NXT. It can be somebody from SmackDown or Raw. Just give him somebody who can talk for him. Guy, girl, doesn't matter. Just somebody who's good at talking and being a manager. Put on a mask on Ricochet. Because the reason why I'm saying that is, one, you kind of change up Ricochet's character a little bit. And also, it will be a very nice nostalgia flashback to when he was Prince Puma in Lucha Underground. Which, when many people talk about how good Ricochet is, they're either referring to his 5-star classics with Will Ospreay, or they're talking about his character, Prince Puma. So I was kind of thinking that. I was like, you know, like a very nice way, if they wanted to rebrand Ricochet after his Logan Paul feud, is have him lose, have him don on a new mask. You don't have to call him Prince Puma. You can still call him Ricochet. But kind of like just, you know, you don't have to make him super silent either. He can still talk, but have somebody who can talk for him, kind of the way Conan did in Lucha Underground, at least the earlier seasons, like season 1 and season 2. So, what do you guys think? Do you guys think I'm bugging? Do you think that's, like, just a high as fuck joke? Where you're just like, this is, you can't be serious. Like, there's no way that would work. But, I forgot to add this to, have him feud with the likes of Wesley. Because if you watch NXT, and you watch Wesley in his matches, he's one of the guys who's insanely good at the ring. Insanely good. But he's kind of like Ricochet, to where he doesn't really have a character. He doesn't really have, I guess, substance when it comes to him being on the mic or just his character. They kind of did do a good job of building him up to where he was losing a lot, but then he started kind of winning, found his mojo back, and then he would go on to win the NXT North American title. But kind of now, if you're looking at it, he doesn't have any substance. He doesn't really have any substance to him. So I would say maybe do a triple threat, Mustafa Ali versus Wesley versus Dominic Mysterio at the upcoming NXT pay-per-view. Have Wesley lose and either Ali win or Dominic Mysterio retain. Have Wesley get moved over to Raw. Have him maybe team up with Ricochet for a little bit. They kind of look like they're about to become a tag team. Out of nowhere, boom. Ricochet turns on him. Ricochet turns heel. I feel like that would be a very, very nice feud to see. You'll have two high flyers going against each other. Kind of give it a bit of a reminiscence of, I was going to say, Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio, but I feel like that might piss a lot of people off, but screw it, I don't really care. I kind of feel like that'll give a very dynamic with that, to where you kind of have the older high flyer teaching the younger high flyer, like, a lesson how, like, you can't just come up here and think you can replace me. But again, I digress with that. What do you guys think? Do you think that Ricochet should turn heel and kind of go through a character change? And do you think if Wesley does come to the main roster anytime soon, that his first challenge should be Ricochet? Let me know. Hey guys, sorry to interrupt your programming of me listening to me talk about my love for professional wrestling. But I just want to draw you guys' attention to Blurted Proof Entertainment. You know, I know I talk about a lot about the Pin Down because that's the show. I do want to create a successful following for the Pin Down. But Blurred Approved Entertainment are the people who not necessarily funding me, but they're the guys who are presenting me with this platform to do that for you guys. So I want you to please, please, please go check out their YouTube channel, Blur to Peru Entertainment. Watch a couple of my episodes, you know, put some likes, give me some comments, give me some traffic going, but also check out all the other shows. They do just great shows. Even check out my guys, Then and Now podcast, where my best friend since middle school, Charlie Wilson, he's on there. Just please check them out. Like, I promise you, you won't regret it. It'll be an excellent time. Now back to your programming. Alright, fans of the Pin Down Audio Only, this might be where it gets a little bit long. I just took a big gulp of water to kind of prepare my throat and my mouth for talking about this. But we are going to be talking about two subjects. We are going to be talking about the Judgment Day, who's currently running the game in WWE on NXT and Raw. And from how it's looking like it, they might even be moving over to SmackDown, which they can very much do so without it really being a brand problem, because Damian Priest has the Money in the Bank, so he can kind of float around, check out the competition. He can cash in on any world champion on either brand, or even, as you saw last year with Austin Theory, even a mid-card title if he so pleases. And if he's traveling show to show, why wouldn't he take his boys with him? You know, slash girl with Rhea Ripley, sorry. And then the second thing we're going to be talking about is AEW Blood and Guts. We're mainly going to be focusing on the match, but I am going to talk a little bit about the whole episode in its entirety. So starting with Judgment Day, I recently saw something where it said that Judgment Day right now, with like their story and characters, are being treated special and kind of similar to the Bloodline and how it was with, you know, the Usos, Solo Sikoa, Roman Reigns, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, all those people. And I kind of find that a bit interesting, mainly because I don't know, for whatever reason, I haven't thought this at all since the beginning of Judgment Day, but like in the past couple of days, I've kind of looked at, well, not past couple of days, sorry, past couple of weeks, I've looked at Judgment Day possibly having like a bit of an evolution storyline, to where in the sense of Damian Priest is a, I want to say young, but he's not that young. I think he's like 40, 41. But Damian Priest is Randy Orton, and Finn Balor is Triple H, since he's the veteran of the group. He has the most experience. He's been in more high-profile matches than they all been in combined. So with that being said, it's Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins at SummerSlam. I love Seth Rollins. I love him. I feel like he was the best pick when it came to the World Heavyweight title, but give me Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. Sorry, why did I say I'm so dumb? Oh my gosh, I'm so tired. Sorry, we already have Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor. What I meant to say is have Finn Balor beat Seth Rollins at SummerSlam. Have him hold on to the title. There's two options this could go in my mind. Have Finn Balor hold on to the title until WrestleMania, and then have Finn Balor cash in his Money in the Bank at WrestleMania. Like, have, you know, tell a story between them, but have Damian Priest cash in at WrestleMania and beat Finn Balor on the grand stage of them all. Or have Finn Balor beat Seth Rollins. Both of these plans involve Seth Rollins taking the L. I'm so sorry. I know. But have Finn Balor beat Seth Rollins at SummerSlam. Have maybe him lose it back to Seth Rollins, probably like around Royal Rumble-ish. But have Damian Priest kind of cost Finn Balor the title, whether or not, like, you know, it's accidental or on purpose. The next night on Raw, have Damian Priest cash in on Seth Rollins, and he's saying, you know, like, I'm doing this for the Judgment Day. We're going to, you know, like, take over Raw once again, but then have Finn Balor cost Damian Priest. And you can even do to where, like, he does upfront cost Damian Priest, or, like, Damian Priest gets attacked backstage or in a match by, like, a masked assailant or whatever, and have it end up finding out that it was Finn Balor, and then have the big grudge match happen at next year's WrestleMania with Damian Priest going over, and then you can, you know, continue the feud as it goes on and on. But I just feel like there's a lot of ways that this storyline with the Judgment Day can go. Now, do I think it's as big as the Bloodlines? I'm going to be honest. Kind of not really. I don't know what it is, but I think the Bloodline just had like too many somewhat like main event players. Like you have the Usos, who's been on top of WWE's game since, I want to say, like 2014, 2015. You have Solo Sikoa, who is looked at as a future world champion, as well as possible the next tribal chief. You have Roman Reigns, already the number one guy in WWE. Paul Heyman, a man who managed Brock Lesnar, arguably WWE's current biggest star, with his matches in WWE, his pedigree, as well as him being a UFC star. And then you have Sami Zayn, who is someone who's very liked by fans, and that many fans have complained just hasn't gotten, you know, the best opportunities. You had them kind of push Sami Zayn also. So, I don't know. I just don't think it's going to be as big as a Bloodline story, even if that's what they're trying to do. But it's not that Rhea Ripley, Damian Priest, Dominic Mysterio, Finn Balor aren't talented enough or good enough to make it that way. I just don't think it's really in the same register. What do you guys think? Do you guys think I might be wrong? Do you guys think I'm right on the money? Or maybe you just kind of think something entirely. Also, what do you think about my booking ideas for how I would go about booking the Judgment Day up to WrestleMania? Now, as for, I didn't mention Dominic Mysterio and Rhea Ripley because, to be honest, I feel like what they're doing right now is more so centered around the Judgment Day. However, more so particular slash specific to Finn Balor and Damian Priest, to where I think Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio, not that they're not talented, but they're more so looked at as like side characters, but the main characters in their own personal stories. You know, you have Dominic Mysterio being the main character right now in NXT North American title division, and you have Rhea Ripley being the main character in the WWE women's title division. But yeah, just feel free to let me know what you think. And now we are going to move on to what is possibly going to be so much to talk about. So much to talk about. It's so much to talk about, I made notes while watching AEW Bloody Guts. So I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to say this up front. And I usually don't talk like this when it comes to shows. But AEW Blood and Guts, this past Wednesday's episode, might have been my favorite episode of AEW ever right now, currently. I can't even think of, like, what's an episode I love that I would refer it to. I would probably say Daniel Bryan versus Hangman Page, the first time episode, or even Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson facing off for a whole hour. But I don't know, I just really enjoyed it, and I felt like it was a perfect episode, minus I guess the Britt Baker match, mainly because it was kind of a squash match, and I felt like on a show where a lot of stuff were kind of being taken seriously, it kind of just killed the vibe a little bit, like I skipped it. But even then, not really complaining too much on that end. I get that Britt Baker is a high-profile star in AEW as well as AEW's women division. So, makes sense to have her on the show in some way, shape, or form. But MJF and Adam Cole versus Sammy Guevara and Daniel Garcia. Solid match, great wrestling, literally had the crowd in the palm of their hand. But the really good part was post-match, when MJF is celebrating, he's enjoying the fact that he's on top of the AEW division as champion, but as well as getting ready to dominate the AEW tag team division, possibly. And then, with a smile on his face, he turns around and sees Adam Cole looking at his title. Now, I might be reading too much into this, but how I kind of interpret it is that for a solid I guess, couple weeks, MJF has really been happy. Like, he's been sincerely happy with his teaming up with Adam Cole. He's been taking it seriously, training, getting on matching gear, everything else. So when he turned around and saw Adam Cole holding his belt, he kind of remembered, like, how this all really started. Like, where did the stain came from? How did the stain turn into, I guess, in lack of a better term, money, you know, with their tag team. So that's kind of how I viewed it. And, like, he kind of reverted back to the MJF we all know, and I guess some of us love and some of us hate, where, you know, he was all about his AEW title. But I can definitely see, now, I was kind of wondering how they were going to go around with this, but I can definitely see MJF costing him and Adam Cole the titles. And just, like, you know, doing it on purpose, even. I'm not going to lie, I kind of originally saw Adam Cole possibly being the one, because I feel like that would have been, like, a nice swerve, how he turns on MJF before MJF can turn on him. But now I kind of see, MJF turning on Adam, and that setting up for the Wembley Stadium pay-per-view they have going on, upcoming. Alright, and then I'm trying to think of what else happened on that show. I feel like I'm missing something. Well, you know, I'm not talking about, like, the side stuff. Like, I know there was a segment with Darby Allin and Orange Cassidy, so it's looking like it's going to be Orange Cassidy versus AR Fox. Darby Allin is in the two-ring battle royal. From how they're talking about it, looks like the final two is going to be Swerve versus Darby Allin. I'm all for that. They put on great matches. However, let's give Swerve the win. Mainly just because Darby has already won the TNT title. Swerve hasn't really had a major belt in AEW other than the tag team titles. And even then, that wasn't necessarily the longest or best reign because of booking. But I say let's give it to Swerve. Swerve doesn't have to beat Luchasaurus, but you know, I feel like it'll be a nice win. He already beat Nick Wayne. Let him go ahead and beat Darby Allin, kind of show that, like, he ain't playing around no more. And then after he gets done, I guess, losing to Luchasaurus and Christian, have him get in a feud with Keith Lee. Since we kind of have, like, Keith Lee going through a phase where he's trying to prove himself and prove that, like, he is so the limitless Keith Lee. So, yeah. All right, now we're going to move into, I feel like that was a terrible, but that was a terrible, like, I'm trying to think, if this was, like, an edit, that would have been a terrible editing mistake on my part, but this terrible, switch over, I guess, for lack of better terms. But we're going to talk about the AEW Blood and Guts match. So, I don't know what it is with the AEW Blood and Guts match, but I've always made sure I was watching, the AEW episode where Blood and Guts was happening. From the first one to the second one, I always kind of made sure, and I've always pretty much enjoyed it myself. I don't know if I'm a person who enjoys gimmicky matches, but I just always make sure I'm in tune for it. But, God, it was so good. Like, I knew I was going to enjoy it, but man, I enjoyed it so much. Everybody was just putting in their A game. And then one thing that I really enjoyed that, I guess I never really viewed with AEW being this good with telling stories, but holy shit, like, so much was told during the match, not more so on the Elite side, but more so on Blackpool Combat Club. And before I talk about that, sorry, I kind of just remember what I was forgetting. Jack Perry beating, God. Taz's son, sorry. Oh my gosh, I feel so bad. Please. Oh my God. Alright. Jack Perry beating Hook. And I kind of was thinking about the best way they can do this, because I get how, like, they gave Jack Perry a belt. They couldn't give him the TNT because they had planned. He damn sure couldn't get the AEW. Can't get the tag because he ain't got no tag partner. He needs a belt to kind of, like, give his character more pedigree. However, I don't think the FTW title is going to do it, if I'm being honest. You know, I guess you could rematch him against Hook. But after that, where are you going to go? Like, who's really going to be challenging more so for the FTW. No one really does it now, hardly, unless AEW just needs filler. So with that being said, I say let's do a sort of unification match between Jack Perry and Orange Cassidy. And it doesn't really have to be a unification, but it can be like both titles on the line. And I think this is where we should have Orange Cassidy lose to Jack Perry and kind of have Jack Perry just completely disregard FTW title, you know, making Hook mad, and then making Hook say, you know, like, I can't bring the FTW title back that my dad and other wrestlers made popular and fought for and shed blood for, but I can take away your title. And then have Orange Cassidy, of course, you know, wanting payback. And then with that, you can easily set up a triple threat between Hook, Orange Cassidy, Jack Perry, and I feel like that would tear the house down. Also, before I end this whole Jack Perry segment, I am not a fan of his entrance. I am not. I'm not going to go into it, but I'm just going to say I saw that entrance, and boy, I just started shaking my head. But what do you guys think? And now we're going back to Blood and Guts. So I gotta actually look at my notes, but I'm gonna actually like read what I wrote down. So I said Claudio looked badass walking to the ring as the first entrant in Blood and Guts. Sometimes he gets overlooked because he's in a team with Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson, who are often regarded as like the best wrestlers currently going. But he's just as good as them, if not better. And there is a reason why he replaced Bryan Danielson against Zack Sabre in the first AEW New Japan Pro Wrestling Forbidden Door. So that's something that I kind of noticed off the get-go. I'm a big Claudio Castagnoli fan. I loved him when he was Cesaro, and I kind of just don't want him to get overlooked. I know he's ROH champion, but we'll go into the hot take of why that matters, but at the same time, it kind of doesn't. But Kenny Omega versus Claudio starting off the match. Fire. That was a dream match that I didn't even think of. But now that like I kind of saw hints of it, I'm like, oh, I need it now. I also said in my notes that Claudio shouldn't lose the ROH title anytime soon. And if he does, the only person I want to see beat him is Hangman Page or Kota Ibushi if he comes over to AEW full-time. I feel like those are the only two people who could take that title off of him and continue making it something successful in AEW Ring of Honor without kind of like just taking it as like, I guess, a consolation prize. Like, hey, we can't give you this title, so we're going to give you, you know, the ROH title. Next, I said Jon Moxley is a new Terry Funk. And I was going to say more so in detail, but I forgot to type it, that he's a new Terry Funk, as in he's brought violent wrestling to mainstream. But I was like, I don't think he has the promo / storytelling capabilities Terry Funk. I will go back to this later on in this talk of this episode. After that, if I'm not mistaken, Nick Jackson came in, was just giving super kicks and DDTs to everybody. But one thing that kind of just randomly came to my mind is, yo, we need a Nick Jackson versus Matt Jackson singles match. Because that would kick all the ass. I feel like that's a dream match that we don't really talk about. But, yo, not going to go too much deeper into it. We still got a lot more to cover. So I saw that Pac came in next. And I started thinking about Pac. And I was like, go ahead and put him in the Ring of Honor Pure Rules. Kind of build him up. Have him beat, I forget his name, but have him beat that guy for the Pure Rules title. And then have him go against Wheeler Yuta. And then you can kind of make a way. And, of course, I made these notes in the way beginning of it. So you're going to be like, dude, that would make no sense because of what happened. I know. But at the time, I was like, just have him, you know, like, go against Wheeler Yuta. That's like a nice side feud for him. But after Pac walked away, I immediately knew it was going to be Pac versus Claudio Castagnoli. I kind of saw Pac going to Ring of Honor some way, shape, or form, but I kind of just thought it would just be as like an extension of the Blackpool Combat Club, kind of like an alliance of sorts. But I was also looking at Takeshita leaving as well. And I was like, either we're getting Takeshita versus Wheeler Yuta, or we're getting Takeshita versus John Moxley. And I am very much okay with that. So they did eventually announce, I want to say it was either today or late yesterday, that it is going to be Pac versus Claudio Castagnoli at this Friday's Ring of Honor pay-per-view. However, I also wanted them to announce John Moxley versus Takeshita and have it pretty much be Blackpool Combat Club taking over Ring of Honor with blood. Like, they're just, you know, out for everybody's necks, just taking over the full show. Ain't no honor about it. They're just going to be fighting with the intention to hurt and take away that pro wrestler's career. And then one thing I also noticed that I feel like not many people really gave a damn too much about, but I feel like this added excellent layers to John Moxley's character. But John Moxley ended up surrendering to Wheeler Yuta. So at first watch, I was like, okay, Wheeler Yuta gets choked out by the chain. You know, he can't tap out. He's unconscious. You know, cool win, great win. But when they said, and I think they said it twice, that John Moxley surrendered because he saw Wheeler Yuta being choked out and he knew Wheeler Yuta couldn't give up. He pretty much gave up for him. And I think that kind of just adds character to John Moxley, and where I kind of take it back, where he could possibly be, I guess, the reincarnation of Terry Funk in a sense. So where he might not be the best on promo, but when it comes to telling a story in the ring, even with all the violence and carnage, he's still really good at doing that. And it kind of just shows that beneath that bloody, violent exterior, there's a heart of gold. And, yeah, that's pretty much most of my notes for that. It wasn't as long as I thought it was going to be, but still pretty long. I think we're at 21 minutes altogether on this segment, and I think, like, 10 minutes of me just talking about the AEW Bloody Guts episode. But, yeah, I very, very, very much enjoyed Blood and Guts. I enjoyed everybody, and I enjoyed Cody Bushi kind of coming in to help his tag team partner Kenny Omega out, kind of specifically in the beginning, because he saw Kenny Omega get kicked into the bed of nails, get slammed on it, and getting his hand stumped on it. I think it was very much like a badass big brother, little brother type dynamic where, you know, he saw that and he just started going after all the members of the Blackpool Combat Club, including Takeshita and Pac. I almost said Neville. God, that's a throwback. But yeah, so very much enjoyed it. And with that being said, we're going to wrap up this segment. And the next time you hear my voice, we are going to be talking about the hot take, which I kind of already spoiled a little bit. And holy shit. Oh my gosh, so hold on, let me, oh wait, no, oh my gosh, so I forgot that when I was planning this episode, my original hot take was, is the Judgment Day story just as important as the Bloodline, but I forgot I changed it because I think I already talked about the Judgment Day a lot in my last episode. I want to change it, but we will be talking with this hot take is Impact Wrestling and Ring of Honor's problem. So with that being said, stay tuned. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the final segment and the closing of the podcast. But we are going to be talking about AEW's Ring of Honor problem. Or sorry, not AEW, more so Tony Khan's Ring of Honor problem and Impact Wrestling's problem. So I recently watched a video, actually like probably a couple hours ago, Top 10 Pro Wrestling was talking about Ring of Honor's problem. And it's kind of the same problem that Impact Wrestling has, but Impact Wrestling kind of has it a bit worse. I'll go into that. But how back in the day, Ring of Honor was where you could see like workhorse versus workhorse. They were just putting on 5-star classics like it was nothing, and saying what even Impact Wrestling at a time. But now there's really no need for them to do that because one, AEW is currently doing that right now. You can even argue that NXT is doing that. And on top of that, all the big stars that probably could make Ring of Honor Impact Wrestling great again and put it back on top, they're either in AEW or they're in WWE, or they got canceled back in 2020, or some stuff happened that were brought to life that, you know, kind of just drew our attention slash focus and love for them out the window. So I think that's is definitely a big problem that they have. I will say with Impact Wrestling, I think they have a bigger problem to where, I don't want to say this because I, Lord knows I would love to, you know, get an interview just to talk with Impact Wrestlers, talk with the production team, the producer, but to me, Impact Wrestling just isn't good anymore. Now, I think, like, there was a time period where they were, like, kind of getting good and finding their setting, but every now and then when I'm starting to find Impact Wrestling interesting, they always use something that kind of just throws my attention out the window. Like, I forget his name, but if you watch tonight's episode, so with me saying tonight, that is, let me see what the date is, the 20th. If you watch July 20th, 2023's episode of Impact Wrestling, they literally had Johnny Bravo cost Santino his match against Dirty Dango, FKA, WWE's Fandango. And that shit just made zero sense. Like, there's no story in that. And I get that not everything has to have a story, but that's just so weird. It's not even like Johnny Bravo had, like, a big character. He was kind of this Taya Valkyrie's, I guess, butler? Buckboy? Like, I don't know. Like, this, he was an important person. I feel like you could have gave that slot to somebody who, like, could have actually done good with that character direction. So, yeah, I just did not understand that, and that kind of drew me for a loop. And then also, I feel like with Impact Wrestling, they kind of take any and everyone in their company, and to where I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, because Eric Young returned and at this past pay-per-view Slammiversary, and, like, I guess that would be fine, but one, he just left the company not that long ago, and two, he's dead. Like, I don't mean in reality, of course, but, like, he died in Impact Wrestling. So, like, he died. Excuse my language. Why the fuck is he back? Like, it just makes no sense to me. And, like, it's just kind of, like, every now and again when, like, I'm starting to kind of like Impact Wrestling, they do something that just makes me start hitting my head against the wall. I get how back in 2020 and 2021, they had a bit of a resurgence to where when all the people got fired from WWE, a lot of their roster got filled with some top talent. But now either those talents are in Impact Wrestling kind of wasting away, such as Deonna Purrazzo, Jordynne Grace, or they're in AEW now, or they're just back in WWE, or they're just even in the independent, kind of just floating around wrestling matches. So yeah, like, that's just kind of my problem with Impact Wrestling. I actually talked about it on one of my first episodes of the Pin Down, and, but I was a bit more lenient on them, because I was still very much so a fan of Impact Wrestling. Now, if you ask me, not so much. And then, Ring of Honor, theirs is kind of basic to where with, AEW Dynamite and AEW Collision, there's really no room for Ring of Honor. Even with AEW Collision, I feel like arguably there's no room for AEW Collision, mainly because they could have very much easily turned AEW Rampage into somewhat AEW Collision. You know, either rebrand Rampage as AEW Collision and get rid of it. But I don't know. Like, I feel like there's a lot of AEW to where that isn't bad, but it's kind of like with WWE to where there's SmackDown, there's NXT, there's Raw, to where, like, not everybody's always watching it. That's why NXT doesn't do huge numbers. Sometimes Raw or SmackDown does it, because sometimes, like, after a big pay-per-view or whatnot, you're just exhausted. Like, you're just like, oh my gosh, like, so much. And with AEW, they're kind of doing the same thing. The only difference with AEW's problem is that Raw has big talent like Seth Rollins, The Judgment Day, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. SmackDown has, you know, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, Solo Sikoa, LA Knight, Jimmy Uso. I don't know if I already said Jey Uso, but just in case I didn't, Jey Uso. AEW really has the Elite and all, like, they're really big stars, people who made the company on AEW Dynamite. And fast forward to AEW Collision, you have CM Punk and FTR, to where that's not a bad thing, but you kind of already have half of the wrestling fan base not really fuck with CM Punk like that anymore. And FTR kind of goes from either being the greatest tag team in pro wrestling currently to being a flavor of the month, and to where I kind of just don't see AEW Collision keeping fans' interest, but I could always be wrong when it comes to that, I guess. You know, maybe you view it differently. If so, please feel free to hit me up and let's talk about it. I'm very much okay with being told I'm wrong or right, as long as you have good argument points and good reasoning. And with that being said, I think we're getting ready to wrap up this episode. I don't really have a red light flashing or any producers telling me. It's just more so right now it's 12:08 in the morning and I got to get up early for work. Because I love talking to you guys, but I'm going to keep it a buck. It don't pay the bills, but you can change that. How you can change that, you may ask. Subscribe to Blurred Approve Entertainment's YouTube channel. Go like and follow the pin down page. Listen to this. Have your friend who's into pro wrestling much as you do listen to this as well. But until then, I so very much so love and appreciate you guys. You guys make it easy for me to come here and talk about pro wrestling. For that, I'm always grateful. So thank you guys. Hope you have a wonderful rest of the day. Hope you have a wonderful night, evening, morning. I don't know, whatever, what time it is you're listening to this. But I just want you guys to know you are loved. You are appreciated, and very much so, you are pro wrestling fans, and because you are pro wrestling fans, just myself, that makes us family, so no matter what may happen in your life, you always have a supporter, slash friend, slash brother in me. Thank you, guys. Godspeed.